when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Good afternoon, people. Good afternoon to all of our precious family of listeners out there. We think about you all the time. Everything we do on this show is for you people. I'm not going to be the lie. Some of the things I do for myself, I do love this show. I love coming in here every week. I love seeing my old co-host Lee Cochran in here. I mean, the guy is rock solid, man. He certainly is. He's been with me through hell or high water for years, as other friends here in Memphis have. But we've got another great show for you tonight. I'll tell you a little bit before we go to the prayer. We've got MS King back in here again. He's going to do like an encore. A lot of people have really loved his book. He didn't get through last week. 2 weeks ago, actually. He only scratched the surface. But he's going to be back in later, starting the second segment, along with Gene Andrews, Mr. Marine Jeans, the Vietnam War Marine officer. He's going to pretty much drive the first hour with MS King. And I'll tell you some more. I'll give you another few more announcements just a second. But people, before we go, another step, we want to let the prayer. Lee Cochran is going to lead us in prayer. So if you will, take your hats off or bow your heads and please pray for yourself, your family, the United States, Blood River. Man, we're in bad shape, but we're going to keep fighting. So here we go to prayer. Okay, take it away, Lee.
Oh, yes. Oh, dear Father, please help us as we expose evil and manipulation. And please help us to expose Zionism and the state of Israel, to let everybody know the truth of that. And please help everybody to get away from this awful deception. And, please help us have insight, even though it seems like it's impossible, this impossible thing to turn the world right on the right side of things. But we know with your power and strength and your Holy Spirit that we can do the impossible. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you so much, Lee. And I tell you what, Lee, you're right. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Not the Baptist Church, not the Mormon Church, not the Presbyterian Church, not the Jesus Christ, Almighty God. He rules all. He is, maybe a little tangent right here, but if I recall my Bible right now, I don't read it like I should. It says, in the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and at the end, I'm going to tell you something else. Heaven and earth will pass away, God said, but my word will not pass away. I noticed in the news lately, we're talking about how President Trump, he's a big disappointment in a lot of ways. They've declared Jerusalem the eternal capital. Well, let me tell you something. There is nothing going to be eternal on this earth right here. God says, my heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will not pass away. This entire world, including their precious Jerusalem, is going to be done away with. And sorry I got off on that little tangent. I never know when I'm going to go off on these tangents. My brain works kind of strange. But I'd like to welcome all you people back on the air again. I'd like to thank Sam for doing a marvelous job. How he does what he does, I'll never know. But he's so good to us. He really does. He gives us a long leash. He lets us do pretty much what we want to do. We try to keep it Christian and keep it legal as possible. But I told y'all what we're going to do tonight. In just a few minutes, we're going to bring Michael King on. And before I forget, let me tell you who he is. I'm really bad at bios. But I pulled up his bio. Michael King, he's a private investigative journalist and researcher based in New York. in the New York City area. He was a 1987 graduate of Rutgers University. His 30-year career in marketing and advertising has equipped him with a unique perspective when it comes to how public opinion, get this people, how public opinion is scientifically manufactured. It is. Madison Avenue acumen combined with city boy instincts to make Mike King one of the most tenacious detectors of things that don't add up in the world today. So we're going to have him on, like I say, just a few minutes, starting the second segment. Okay, you know, a few other things we're going to do. We're going to tell you about some of the things that we promised we would do in this. On our website, and we've told you on this in this show that we're going to take things to a higher level. We're keeping it peaceable, and we're keeping it legally. But we told you we were going to, you know, if you go to our website, you can see it. We're going to go to the universities. We're going to go to the churches. We're going to go to the streets. Now, we've done those three things. And not only that, we've gone to a congressman's office. And this past week, we've gone to the Shelby County Courthouse to try to get an audience with the judge. We did it peaceably. We tried to see three different judges about an incident that happened last Sunday between us. And one big church here in Memphis, we'll tell y'all about that in the second hour. We went to the University of Memphis Law School. And very, very disappointed in both cases there, both trials. We struck out. We were unable to get any kind of help from anybody. And the second hour, we're going to tell you about our last foray to the field. And I'll also tell you I'll go ahead and tell you this. Our next move, Lee and I, we're going to try to go to the sheriff's office to get the sheriff to intervene. It's the problems we've been having here with getting our message out in the street. People trying to attack us just for trying to exercise our constitutional amendment of free speech, our God-given. No rights come from government. All rights come from God. It's enshrined. These rights are enshrined in the Constitution. Sam was a more of a constitutional scholar than I am, that's for sure. That's Sam hangs his hat. His show is pretty much is based on being a constitutional show, based on the Holy Bible, based on law and order, based on the highest law of the land, the Constitution. And, I've been disillusioned a little bit with the Constitution, but I'll tell you what, I always come back to saying that it's not the Constitution's fault. It's not perfect, that's for sure. But the main problems with the Constitution is with people, is we the people who have, we don't stand up for the Constitution. But that's what we're here right, a little dinky Blood River in our little way. We're trying to do the best we can with what we have. And with that, I'm going to turn this thing over to Lee. Lee, jump in here and add anything you have to say, fella. Come on, give us a teaser of what we're going to do when we have him as King. People, here's Lee.
Yes, I will. I'm going to ask Mr. King about the 20,000 or 30,000 American POWs that were abandoned during World War II that nobody knows about, that went to the gulags in Russia, and I guess they were worked to death. That is just unacceptable that we sold out American soldiers. I don't know all the details, but I think Mr. King will know more about this. And there's the music.
Thank you so much, Lee. Well, people, I hope we gave you all a little teaser, and I hope we did a pretty good job of laying an outline out for the rest of the show. Please stay tuned, and we'll be right back with our dynamite guest and our dynamite co-host. So hang on to your seats.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S. 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Well, hello, people. We're right back, and we have our guest on. We have our esteemed co-host, Mr. Mike. How are you doing tonight, Mr. Michael King?
Hey, how are you? Yes, I'm doing well. Good to be back with you.
Well, you know what? I'm doing wonderful. We built you up, man. You're the hero of the universe. I actually went in and researched your bio, and I have been really poor, to say the least, at reading bios. But, hey, we did your bio before we brought you on because we didn't want you to blush, you know, over the radio, fella. Hey, and I know you remember Mr. Marine, James. He's not just a Marine. He is the friggin' Marine. His name is Gene Andrews. He is the real deal.
A warrior scholar.
He's the warrior scholar, fella. I'm telling you, he done been educated almost better than me. But anyway.
Public school.
That's right. You know what? I almost passed the Marine IQ test. Gene really passed it. That's why he made him an officer. But yeah, I didn't pass it. So they made me a stinking medic, man. But anyway, Gene's going to drive this interview tonight like he did last time. And Lee's probably have a few questions if Lee can work them in. We're going to get going. But I'd like to thank you so much, Mike, for coming on tonight. I talked to Mike last week, and this is another teaser, y'all. He's going to come on in the future, too. The one book I'm really foaming at the mouth for him to cover is The War Against Putin. So that's what we're going to do in the future. I don't know exactly when he's going to be ready to do it. But anyway, with that, with all my blabbermouth, guys, go ahead. Where are we going to take up tonight? Where do you want to start, Mike and Gene?
I would like to ask a question of Mr. King.
Go ahead. Fire away.
Have you ever been attacked physically or verbally by the kosher mafia or whatever you want to call them? And I know Amazon has canceled your book sales of The Bad War, so that proves right there you're telling the truth. But I'm just curious, have you ever been physically attacked by these people?
Not physically. Nasty emails, nasty hate mails. One character got my phone once, and I said, "All right, tough guy, you want to meet and talk into the man, or you're just gonna call from a blocked number?"
Yeah.
So that kind of harassment. Yeah. I don't think I'm quite big enough to, merit being taken out.
Yeah.
But certainly my books, they kind of nipped the bad war in the bud because it was really beginning to expand to new audiences on Amazon.
Yes, sir.
So that was really unfortunate. But yeah, I mean, the bulk of the harassment has been the financial stuff, killing the main book.
Yeah.
Books, I should say. PayPal account wiped out, that kind of thing.
And, this is something I've never been able to understand about these people. In reading The Bad War, and I've read it several times over and over and get mad every time I read it, there's nothing in there that says we need to retaliate or take revenge on the Jews or Israel or whoever for suckering us into two world wars. All you do is lay out the facts of what they said, not what you said they said, but what they actually said, and give the source, give the newspaper, give the book, give the speech, give whatever it is that they actually said that influenced Wilson or influenced Churchill or influenced Roosevelt or turned down any type of compromise or negotiated peace with Germany. And yet then they turn right around and start screaming about anti-Semitism because somebody, yourself or anyone else, simply tells the facts. And to me, that proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that they have no case to stand on. When you say that factual information is, anti-Semitic, that's just, a cover, an excuse, a way to dodge the issue.
Yeah, and I believe that's why my book is particularly effective, is precisely because I rely so heavily on things that they admit and things that they said. Because it's interesting, I have access to the old archives of the New York Times going back to 1900.
Yes,
sir. Service you could pay for each month, and you can literally dig out every article, every issue, page by page, going back 120 years. Amazing. But if you dig through there, you'll find enough beneath all of the stinking hype of manure, there are diamonds of truth in there. And I rely heavily upon what they published.
Sure.
It could be headlines or it could be a buried story. And that makes it very, makes it impossible for them to say, oh, this guy, he's floppy research. What are his credentials? He's anti-Semite. This is propaganda. No, I rely so heavily. I confirm so much of my points based on what you guys published. I mean, for example, I make the point that Hitler tried so hard to maintain the peace and prevent war from breaking out with Poland, and he offered all of these peace deals and compromises. And you can find in the New York Times a whole article summarizing this in a very neutral tone, what the Germans were proposing. So this isn't so-called Nazi propaganda, and it's not stuff that I made up or embellished. It's right there. It's your own words. You published it. New York Times, 1939, and here it is. And I do that very often, and it's embarrassing to them because they can't. How are you going to come back on that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's hard to refute that, and it's hard to deny what they actually said. And that's what's so infuriating about the news media today, the fake news, the prestitutes, whatever you want to call them, that rely solely on their opinion to promote their agenda. And we can see how this has been going on, and I think it's just escalating more and more over the last 15 to 20 years. But, thank you for answering that, because that's a question I've always had. I said, if you tell the truth and you present the facts and it's not opinion, then how can that be considered anti-Semitism? But, when you've got a scam you're running, you've got to keep it covered. So, anybody that exposes the truth is the boogeyman, and they've got to be ridiculed and kept out of the news media and, labeled as a conspiracy theorist or a kook or something like that. So
yeah, that's their favorite. Yeah.
It's I'm sure it's an uphill battle, and I'm just very fearful for you that you'd maybe even not just financial attacks or verbal attacks, but maybe it even come under physical assault as well. So,
let's hope not.
But, no, I hope not too.
I think I got to get bigger. I got to get much bigger for that. I have a decent sized audience, but it's not. But I'll tell you what, though, the way the Bad War was beginning to circulate on Amazon, I may have been headed in that direction where it could have really became something big. Because once I reached the first page of Amazon search under World War II, and I was at one point hovering fourth, fifth, or sixth, right on the first page. And that's the second most used search engine in the world, next to Google. What was happening is now you're getting, instead of preaching to the choir and just giving them a little bit more information, you have what I call newbies or normies who were stumbling across this book right on the front page of Amazon search under World War II. And all the other books are conventional nonsense, but here you have a book saying, oh, it's the Bad War. And it was it piqued a lot of interest. And I would get emails from people saying, yeah, I was just doing a little research, or I was doing a paper for high school or college, came across your book on Amazon, and it you know, blew my mind.
Absolutely.
That was becoming, you know, because we could talk in an echo chamber all we want, and it's not going to change things. But when you begin to start reaching new minds, then they deem that to be too dangerous. And they yanked the book, and it was a devastating blow for me financially. I would say devastating because, you know, before I didn't have all these book sales. But it was heading in a certain direction. It was going
to
reach a lot.
Well, guys, there's the music. We're going to our break, but when we come back, thinking about this. When we talk about anti-Semitism or any other type of definition, we got to remember, they have their definitions. They have co-opted the narrative. They have co-opted all the vocabulary. So they have their own anti-Semitism to us. Up may be down to them. But when we come back, I think Lee Cochran has a quick question too. People, hang on.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Rick Vincent.
Attorney General William Barr is reviewing the 22-month report from Special Counsel Robert Mueller about possible links between Russia and the Trump campaign, with indications he may provide principal conclusions of the findings to Congress as early as this weekend. Pennsylvania Democrat Madeline Dean expects it to happen.
It was interesting to say that he might be in a position this weekend to provide some broad strokes, I guess, of conclusions of the report. I don't think Barr would say that if he didn't actually think he would be doing that, because the letter was very specific and very brief.
A cruise ship off of Norway's western coast was evacuating its 1,300 passengers after losing power and issuing a mayday call this afternoon. Helicopters and boats were helping with the evacuation process. The Viking Sky, operated by Viking Ocean Cruises, was experiencing engine problems. At the time, the cruise ship was also encountering high seas and strong winds. The area is known for its fierce weather. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Ask yourself, if you built a van for your business, where would you start? At the beginning, of course. With the people who invented the work van over 100 years ago, Mercedes-Benz. You'd give your new Mercedes-Benz Sprinter advanced technology and safety to keep you connected and protected. You'd make it available in diesel and gas, and there would be thousands of configurations and upfits to choose from. You'd build it right here in the USA, because your one-of-a-kind business deserves nothing less than a van that's built for you. Introducing the all-new Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. The safest, most innovative Sprinter yet, starting at just $33,790. Built for you, the all-new Sprinter, built in the USA. Mercedes-Benz, vans, born to run.
MSRP excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Options, model availability, and actual dealer price may vary. See dealer for details about costs and terms. Equipment described as optional. 2019 Mercedes-Benz Sprinter, available soon.
A U.S.-backed alliance of Syrian fighters has announced that the jihadist group Islamic State has lost the last pocket of territory in Syria it controlled. It imposed its brutal rule on almost 8 million people, generating billions of dollars in revenue from oil, extortion, robbery, and kidnapping. The secondary fire that ignited at the petrochemical facility in Deer Park, Texas, has been contained, but the Coast Guard had to close part of the Houston Ship Channel near that facility after a dike wall collapsed, causing chemicals to seep into the water. Intercontinental Terminals Company spokesperson Alice Richardson.
Some of the liquid behind the containment wall remained behind the barrier, but some did escape. The escaped liquid was made of a mix of the product from the tanks that burned in the fire, firefighting foam, and water from our firefighting efforts.
Officials say there is no timetable for reopening a portion of the Houston Ship Channel, one of the busiest waterways in the country. This is USA Radio News.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly? Nope. Never had a lesson.
Okay, people, we're right back. We're going to go right back to our esteemed guest. And I think Lee had a question he wanted to ask either you and or Gene about some missing prisoners. Is that right, Lee? Lee has a quick question.
Yeah, Mr. King. What is the true story about, like, was there 20,000 POWs that the Russians kept after World War II and put them in the gulag and we never heard from them again?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Mr. King has that in his book, and I mean, it's documented what happened to these. And I still to this day don't understand how the Russians could take our military men, soldiers, as prisoners, and then never return them to the U.S. And in fact, the Barnes Review has a book out now, and I can't remember the title, Fading and Forgotten, but it lists what all of that happened. The prisoners that were taken World War II, Korea, and Vietnam, that the government just kind of shrugged their shoulders and said, "That's the end of that." I'm sure Mr. King could give you more details on that. At the end of World War II, what happened to our prisoners that were taken by the Russians?
Yeah, well, excuse me. After every war, World War II, Korean War, and Vietnam War. The war's over. They don't want any loose ends, so they just say, "The heck with these guys." This is what FDR did at the end of World War II, and Truman, Eisenhower did that after Korea, and this happened again in Vietnam. It's just we don't want to deal with the problem; we just ignore it. So, but yes,
do we have their
World War II?
Do we have the individual names of the prisoners? That were taken. Do we have the individual names of the 20,000, or is that top secret?
I don't know if that's available publicly. I mean, certainly the government would have that. That much I don't know. But there's a second element to the story that's just as heart-wrenching. What happened is, as the United States advanced from the West, and they would liberate the prisoner of war camps, they came into possession of many Russian prisoners of war. Conversely, as the Soviets came from the East and liberated POW camps, they would have their hands on American prisoners of war. And it was agreed, okay, well, we'll swap. We'll give you your Soviet soldiers. You give us our American prisoners. But there's a problem with that deal, because any Soviet POW was automatically decreed a traitor. So these guys were going straight to the gulag or to execution. As a matter of fact, Stalin's own son was taken prisoner, and he committed suicide. So there's a big difference there. The Soviets did not want to go back. They knew what they were facing. But we rounded them up by force, and we returned these men to their doom, these Soviet troops. And then the Soviets began to reciprocate by returning some American POWs. But then they stopped. They didn't bring them all back. And it just ended like that. So that was just left up in the air with, I don't know the exact number, 20,000, 25,000. But they disappeared behind, they went probably the same gulags as the so-called Soviet traitors went. So it was a double betrayal. We betrayed these Soviet prisoners of war. And most of these guys, they were just helpless, you know, draftees and conscripts. Some of them, though, actually volunteered to fight for the Germans. There were Soviet units that switched sides, they wanted to overthrow Stalin. And so they were given German uniforms, and they fought under a Russian banner. It was called the Vlasov's Army. But those guys were certainly murdered when they went back. But any other POW went to the Gulag. And that's kind of a really dirty betrayals that went on after the war was over. I've got a whole section on that in the book, The Bad War, which you can't get on Amazon, but your listeners can go to tomatobubble.com and look up on the left tab, look for The Bad War. They can read an excerpt, and they can still get the book. But some of the stuff that went on after the war, 45, 46, 47, is just the baddest went on during the war, even worse.
Gene, what do you have to say about that, fella?
Well, it is. And the things, the dirty conniving deals that were cut even at the end of the war, a question I had, there's no doubt that Eisenhower stalled and drug his feet and refused to push into Germany and capture Berlin. There was a deal made to stop the Allies coming in from the west and allow the Soviets to come in and take over eastern Germany and all the countries in eastern Europe. And my question has always been, under whose orders did Eisenhower do that? Was it Roosevelt, or who was pulling the strings to stop the American forces from sweeping on in? Because there were several American generals, Patton being one of them, that said, we can get across the Rhine. That's no problem. We've got several places we can get across the Rhine and get into Germany and go ahead and take Berlin and keep the Soviets from getting Germany or getting Berlin. So I'm sure Mr. King could tell us who was pulling the strings to stop the American armies from getting into Berlin.
Yes. Well, it was that same greasy gang of communist traitors that surrounded Roosevelt, who provoked Pearl Harbor back in 41. I mean, they really went into a paranoid mode once the Germans beat Stalin to the punch. And they thought the Soviet Union was in danger of collapsing, so they started plotting, okay, we're going to really ratchet up our pressure on Japan so Japan could hit Pearl Harbor, and then we could go to war, but our main focus will be to save the Soviet Union. But that same greasy bunch early on, and I quote in my book, I dug up an article from 1942, Time magazine, Stalin, Man of the Year. It was a real puff piece, love letter.
Oh, yeah.
And this is 1942. Time magazine said that Stalin is requesting from the Allies that he be given permission to take Berlin and raise Berlin, R-I-Z-E, which means destroy it.
Destroy it. Just
tear
it down to the ground.
Far back in 42, the fix was in, even before the U.S. Army was drafted and prepared and sent to Europe. The fix was already in. Of course, any insiders who knew this, of course, were like FDR and traitors all around it, George Marshall, Dwight David Eisenhower. They knew the game. But people who were out of the loop were scratching their heads, like, what's going on? Why do you keep stalling here? I mean, Patton's army was unstoppable. He was a great general, and they cut off his gasoline. And even before that, in Italy, they had to slow him down. They had to get rid of him. They made up that fake incident with the slapping. He slapped some Jew's shoulder. He said his nerves were no good, so he was in a hospital, couldn't fight. That was all staged by the communists. Drew Pearson, a communist columnist, broke that story. And they did that because they wanted to sideline Patton, which they did. But then they had to bring him back in the West when things weren't going too well. So they kind of used Patton, like, when we need some victories and we got to make some progress, we'll bring him off the bench. But then when he starts going too fast, it's like, oh, okay, take him out.
He's the star quarterback. Let him drive the team down to the 20-yard line and then pull him out of the game and let the fourth-string quarterback
sort of like
go in there.
Fixing,
keep him
like
scoring.
It's like you're fixing a football game. You want to stay within a point spread,
down.
Okay? You want to stay within a point spread. Now the quarterback's doing too well. It's like, okay, back on the bench. We want to keep it within 3 points. We don't want you blowing them out.
Oh, my gosh.
And you know, all of these fake historians, they come up with all of these excuses, why Eisenhower did that, why did they slow down, why didn't they advance here? And they make it like, well, they missed an opportunity here. There's all these excuses. But it was a pattern going all the way back to when we first landed in North Africa in 43. You know, the idea was just we're gonna engage the Germans just enough to draw 25%, 30%, 35% of their forces from the Eastern Front. That takes enormous pressure off of Stalin. But we're not going to go too fast because Eastern Europe has been reserved for the Soviets and for communist takeover. And the whole war was engineered like that.
That's amazing as you look at it, and it's so obvious how it falls into place to have somebody present that in a concise argument and say, you know, the fix was in from the get-go. And you look at the things
and
all the supplies we sent to Russia and the tanks and trucks and airplanes and everything like that up to Murmansk and Archangel and all of these places.
Not only a betrayal of the people of Eastern Europe, it's a betrayal of the U.S. Forces, because the slower you move, the more body count you churn up.
Sure.
This is why Patton, you know, understood. He says, the more I push, the faster we go. It's bloody, but it's more brief. So you actually save lives the faster you go. Because these apologists for Eisenhower would say, well, he wanted the Soviets to take the bulk of the casualties. That's nonsense. The more you attack and the faster you move, the more you're putting the casualties on the enemy and saving your own lives. So this insane policy got scores of thousands of additional Americans killed. And Eisenhower knew this, and Marshall knew this.
Hey, guys, hear the music. We've got to cut it off right now. But we're going to come right back, people. Keep listening. We're going to go right back to Mr. Mike as soon as we come back from this break.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no vote.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Assistant O. Clint say, go ahead and make my day. I'm looking forward to one of these days where we can make some of these communist traitors a day. Now, with that, I will go right back to where you was, Mike. I didn't mean to cut you off so fast. I'm trying to practice even as we go. We're still a fairly new show. Well, I'm trying to practice with these. You have just a certain amount of seconds to get off of a break, and then you get black. You know, I get chopped off. So, I'm still a work in progress, fella. But anyway, go right back to where you were, and then when you get through, of course, Gene will come in and chime in. He's doing a great job, too. So, go to it, fellas.
Well, I guess I pretty much made the point that, you know, all of these slowdowns from the West were deliberately calculated, and they proved to be deadly for U.S. troops because, you know, all of Europe could have been taken much sooner. But the fix was in from the very beginning that the Soviets would take all of Eastern Europe.
That's horrible.
Well, I have a quick question. Oh, go ahead. Yeah. I have a quick question. You know, we knew, you know, when I was in the second and third grade, President Eisenhower was the president. We all worshipped him then because we were all ignorant. But besides Eisenhower and Marshall, how many other generals were that you know of, Mike? I don't know if you know. A bunch of them had to be communists. A bunch of them had to be traitors. For instance, you made the point that they murdered Patton. They wanted to get him out of there earlier. But how many of those that you know of that were traitors, and how many politicians that would stand out like a sore thumb that, you know, that McCarthy was after? And you can answer that, and Gene can chime in on it too when he's ready. Go ahead.
I'm sure Gene will vouch for this. You know, in the military, you follow orders. So if you got the top guys or communist, pro-communist, globalist traitors like Marshall and Eisenhower, you're going to get a lot of guys beneath them, they just follow the orders. So sometimes it's difficult to know if the mid-level guys are actual traitors or if they're just doing the military thing. So yeah. I can't really answer that, but I do know I can answer for Marshall and Eisenhower, and that's the reason both of these guys were skyrocketed, particularly Eisenhower, who graduated, like McCain. McCain was at the very bottom of Annapolis, like third from last out of 400-800 or something like that. But Eisenhower, I think, was in the bottom third. And then all of a sudden, he got this rash of promotions once he hooked up with Bernard Baruch. And it was just, he just went up like a skyrocket, you know, lieutenant, major, colonel, general, extra stars. It's really, really strange. But not once you understand it. So, you know, the Reds, they have penetrated the military. There's no question, not nearly to the extent as other American institutions, but they're there.
Well, that's a good point you made about the military. You don't have to have everybody from a 5-star general down to a buck private out in the field. All you need is a few people in key positions, and the people, even the field officers, your colonels, lieutenant colonels, you know, they're concerned with their men and what their mission is right there. They really don't have time to look at the overall picture. And so if you've got Eisenhower and Marshall at the top screwing things up, they're just out there in the field with the tanks stopped, the truck stopped, no gasoline, and sitting on the western side of the Rhine River and can't get across and scratching their heads just like everybody else would be. So you can't blame every single officer, every single soldier in the U.S. Army or the Allied Army for being involved with that. You just need a few people at the upper echelon, and you pretty well got it bagged.
Well, that's right, and that answers the most common objection that we often hear to so-called conspiracy theory. Well, how do you get all these people? You just need key players at the top. And it works the same way in the corporate world, in the world of the media, in the world of even in government. The way the so-called two-party system is set up now, each district in America does not have its own congressman. Okay, these congressmen answer to the so-called majority leaders. So there's a hierarchy, whether you're looking at government, whether you're looking at media, whether you're looking at academia. There's a hierarchy, and you buck the system, you're going to pay a steep price in your finances, your career, sometimes with your life. So all you need is the few key players at the top, and the rest trickles down just out of obedience or fear.
Well, a perfect example of that. Back in November, we had an election in Tennessee for a senator. The Senate seat was open. Corker was not going to run, and so Phil Bredesen, who had been mayor of Nashville and had been governor of Tennessee, a Democrat, was campaigning saying that, well, he would do best for what do best for Tennesseans. If he agreed with President Trump, he'd vote with Trump. If he disagreed with him, he was going to do what was best for Tennesseans. I laughed my head off. I said, you lying dog, you're going to do exactly what the big muckety-mucks in the Democrat Party tell you to do, or you're going to be sent to the back room and you'll never be seen again. So, you know, we're not all that stupid that they can lie to us like that and tell us, oh, well, you know, I'm not going to buck the system. Well, you're not going to buck the system in the military. You're not going to buck the system in political parties either. It's pretty much one and the same. So
that's right.
Yeah. Does Woody have any more questions? We certainly didn't want to cut him off.
Oh, that's all right.
Yes, I got one.
Y'all are doing fine.
I got one question. I've done some study. They were saying, why didn't Germany block the entrance to the Mediterranean at the very first of the war? Because that would have slowed down the Allies. And I heard that some German officers knew that Germany was going to lose the war before it even started. So a lot of this is just rigged.
Yes, there were. Germany had its share of traitors. That's actually a very understood point of World War II. There were a lot of German generals, and indeed there was an assassination attempt on Hitler in 1944. There's a reason for this. I mean, some of these guys were thinking ahead. They're probably thinking long term. Well, how are we going to win this war? You know, once the U.S. is in, let's cover our asses now. And that was part of it, and some of it too was just the fact that Hitler's movement was truly a revolution in that it really was a people's movement. Under the Hitler system, whether it's, you know, business, academia, or the military, he wanted a system where everybody could rise on merit. You could be a poor German kid like he was. I mean, he was basically an orphan, okay? Didn't have any money, but he rose to the top based on merit. And that's the vision that he had. And that didn't sit well with many of the German elite who were brought up under that old system of the Kaiser, where the classes were stratified, and you know, here you have this guy. He didn't even go to college. He didn't go to military school. He was just a corporal in World War One. You know, so there was that kind of resentment, that elitism. So you always have to deal with that with some of these German high muckety muck officers, and I'm sure some of these were probably in communication with British intelligence. You know, you help us out after the war is over. You live well. So there was a lot of that in German military. There certainly was. There was a lot of treason going on, and it did a lot of damage.
Well, mm-hmm. that was true. You look at some of the professional military officers in the German officer corps, and they hated Hitler because, just like you said, he hadn't been to the military schools and been an enlisted man during World War One. And they resented the fact that he had acquired so much power and so much popularity and had no pedigree of the ruling class of Europe. And a lot
right.
of the, and what you have to remember, a lot of the ruling class, whether it was Germany, France, Austria, Great Britain, they were all related to each other. So when this outsider comes along, this upstart, and acquired power, even if it meant the downfall of their own country, they were going to side with the blood of their people in Austria, Hungary, France, Belgium, England, wherever, as opposed to siding with this upstart character that just came rolling in out of nowhere. So
excellent point, Gene.
It's hard for us to understand that. We don't have an official royal class in this country, although politicians think they are, and lawyers a lot of times. But in Europe, it was a very tight-knit group at the top. That bond went across national boundaries, and Hitler upset the apple cart there. So they had a lot of resentment. And the histories I've read of the Russian campaign, a lot of them really disobeyed orders. And they were on the track to knocking the Russian army out and finishing them off And
yeah,
they just stabbed their own soldiers in the back and turned their back on them.
So, well, yeah, there was one general, Paulus. I mean, he surrendered. I think it was like 30,000 of his men, and a lot of them didn't want to surrender, but they surrendered. These guys end up in the gulag, and he ends up living a good life in communist East Germany after the war.
Yeah.
It's really, really, really horrible. And, yeah. And you know, it reminds me of, you know, The Sound of Music, the film where they portray the, who is the actor? The performer.
Well, guys, I'm sorry to say I didn't get my question in, but we've come to the last of the hour. Mr. Mike, I'll be getting back with you before too long. We're going to keep Gene Andrews is going to stay over, and he's going to have any statements he gets to make. So we'll see y'all starting in the second hour, y'all, in just a few minutes.